The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes, and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson is a real quandary. Quandary is when you read something, but you don't understand why it happened that way. And Jesus' baptism is a quandary. John the Baptist had been calling people to be baptized and to repent. He adopted it from the Gentile baptism. When a Gentile wanted to join the Jewish faith, they had to go down to the river and be fully immersed in the river to be washed of their dirty Gentileness. Then they were fit to join the kingdom of God in Israel. John does a variance of this. He says to the Jews, you also need to repent and be baptized. Because the Jews had strayed from God, needed to repent, and needed to return to God. John was teaching, only when you repent can you be forgiven. Now, why did a perfect man like Jesus need to be baptized? He was already clean before God. He was sinless. But what use did Jesus have for baptism? Well, there's three reasons. The first is to identify, the second is to exemplify, and the third, to be anointed. The identify. He had to identify with man. In Matthew's account, we read, "You don't need to be baptized with this water. It is I that need to be baptized with your baptism of spirit and fire. But Jesus said, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.'" Jesus needed to identify with the very people that he had come to save. You know, he could have stayed in heaven, but he chose to become man and live amongst us. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, a Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." When Jesus was baptized, he was standing in solidarity with all of mankind. He became our representative before God. He lived the life that we could not live. We cannot live a perfect life. We know that. But yet, he lived the life that we couldn't do. He resisted all the temptations that we have. He had to identify with us in order to be the perfect sacrifice. But he also had to exemplify to us. The words recorded in Matthew are, "Let it be now so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." What does it mean to fulfill all righteousness? Righteousness basically means the correct Christian life. It symbolizes a relationship with God that's lived out in obedience. It's connected to repentance and confession, and as well as future obedience to God's will. Jesus is basically saying, "My Father requires this baptism so that I might become one of the people, and he needed to be baptized." Jesus' baptism was an example of obedient living. This obedient living is the first step in what would lead him to the cross. It is through Jesus' obedient, perfect life that his sacrifice would be accepted. Obedience is not something to God that we start and stop as we feel like. To be a Christian means we follow the wishes of our Heavenly Father. For we know when we obey, we are blessed. Matthew 3:16 says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, the heavens was opened." Luke 3:21 says, "Jesus was baptized, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form." When we obey, we can expect to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we were each baptized, whether as infants, young adults, or as adults, we received the Holy Spirit at that point. The Holy Spirit entered our life. It's exciting, isn't it, that God wants to come and pour his Spirit out on us and work in us ways that we never imagined, to bring to seed that which has been sown for God's glory. But we need to follow Christ's example for this to happen. It's a lifelong task that leads to blessing. Maybe it means we got to look over our life and deal with something from our past that we really don't ever want to have see the light of day. Maybe we have to deal with a sin like that. But Jesus, the third one, Jesus was baptized in order to be anointed. At his baptism, he ceased being a carpenter and began his work as the Messiah. Anoint means to rub oil on a person or thing, but most important, to set it aside for a special use. At Jesus' baptism, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Beginning of his ministry, Jesus entered the synagogue, and he read from a passage in Isaiah, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The anointing of Jesus in the Jordan River marked the beginning of his public ministry. It also marked an end to the sacrificial system. Reading through the book of Leviticus, you see all the sacrifices you had to do for the various sins or the various conditions that you found yourself in, and this was necessary in order to be forgiven. However, it did not take a mathematician to figure out that you could not possibly afford all the sacrifices needed for everything you did. Even Solomon, in all of his wealth, could not have paid for his sins and the sins of all of his wives. That's what the sacrificial system was meant to do, was to prove to people, you can't do it. You have to rely on God's mercy. Then we have the declaration from heaven, where God the Father says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus had the power and the authority from the Father. When we come to faith, we are anointed like Christ. We become the sons and daughters of God. We leave our old lives behind us and begin a new life. And don't be surprised if God calls you for a particular purpose, even if it's outside of your comfort level. Jesus' testimony was that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What has the Lord anointed you to do? Don't be afraid of that anointing, because the Holy Spirit empowers you. It was important that Jesus identify with us. He had to take our place. He also set the example of what we are to follow. And finally, he was anointed for a purpose. So as we close, I encourage you again to seek God's face and examine whether you are following Jesus' example. Are you obeying God's revealed will for your life? Just be assured, God will not bless or work through you in power until you surrender to him. Until you admit that you are powerless without him, then he will bless us and work through us. We've also been anointed for service, if you know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be scared. Serve him. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.